thank you very much for the honour of coming here. I see you want double trouble this morning. So somebody's just mentioned, oh dear, we're going to be made to work hard. You've got a Shmuel in front of you and you've got Tehillim in front of you. It's no bagels now, it's really the hard stuff. And this woman conceived, Vatishlach Vatageid Ladovid, she sent a message to the king, Vatomer Horonochi. She told him, I'm pregnant. Well, David wasn't very pleased about this. Vaishlach David el Yoav. So David sent a message to Yoav, Shalach Elias Uriah Hachiti, sent me Uriah el David. Yoav got him along, and Uriah came to David. Vayavah Uriah Elov. Now Uriah doesn't really know what's going on. But Uriah came to him, Vayishal David, Nishlom Yoav, Nishlom Om, Nishlom Milchamoy, says, how are things? How's it going on the army and the war, the battle, and so on? And then Vayomer David Luriah, and David said to Uriah, Reid Leveischa, go down to your house, Rechatz Raglecha, wash your feet. You know, take it easy, have a break, go back home. Vayitz Uriah Mebeis HaMelech, and Uriah left the house of the king, Vatetz Achom Masas HaMelech. And a royal feast was sent after him. Now what's going on here? David HaMelech wants to make an impression that the baby which is due to be born is from Uriah. So that's why he says to Uriah, go back home. Now she is a married woman, apparently. The Mefarshim though go to great lengths to point out, well, it was the practice, a very common practice at that time, that when people went to war, because men went missing in action, and women were left as agunos, not knowing whether they can remarry or not, it was normal to give the wife a get before going out to war. So the first excuse we can give to justify David HaMelech's behavior was, okay, she wasn't technically a married woman. But Uriah went to war, he gave her a get, and so, all right, what he did was lustful and a bit improper, but she wasn't tenacious-ish. That's a bit unclear. It was common to give a get conditional, that if I don't come back within 30 days, then this get becomes effective. Whereas if he does come back within 30 days, she was never divorced. It seems that the exoneration which David HaMelech has from the Mefarshim was that she had a valid get which was already effective. I'm assuming he knew that. We're not told he knew that. Whatever he did was improper because, I mean, even if technically she was not Uriah's wife, Uriah coming back from war would go back to her, so they would be remarried.
Can I ask you the issue from Hamza? Is that if she's pregnant while she's married, yeah? He's still not dead, yeah? Is the issue of Hamza only when it's actually born, or while it's in...
It's the time of conception, yeah. If he has marital relations with her, and she's not yet divorced, then
the child is a
mumzer. Anyway, it does say Uriah Hachiti, yes. I think I saw somewhere that he went through a Geirus. He was fighting for the Israelites.
If he's no Jews, there's no union of mumzer, but he can't have mumzer.
Well, then she's not a married woman.
No,
in that respect. Yeah. Yeah, then there wouldn't be mumzerus.
But well,
but she's a Jewish. Well, was he showing him covered, or was he simply trying to... Well, he was manipulating him. He wants him to go home. He wants him to visit Bathsheba in order that, when she finally gives birth, Uriah would assume that it's his child. This isn't the sort of behaviour which is becoming a king of Israel. I mean, can you imagine Tony Blair? Prince Charles. Can you imagine Tony Blair seeking a relationship with another woman, and he's married already, and he checks out the fellow who's married to her and says, look, I want you to go out on the front line in Iraq, in Najaf, or wherever the real fighting's going. I want you to go out there on the front line to engineer that he gets killed, because that's what's about to happen. And to say to the fellow, look, go back home to your wife so that people will think that the baby she has is from you and not from me.
Is this in chronological order? In other words,
certainly the Miskadeshes, Mitumoso, is written after the phrase, but it happened beforehand.
Yeah, what I mean is, was it sent out to war before this occurred?
Yes. He was out at war, and he sent for him to come back, and then he went off again.
So when he came back, then...
When he came back...
Earlier, the get would have been validated.
Well, the Mefarshim say that the get was effective on his return. That maybe he had come back already after that period of time. Mm-hmm. We're not told that. But that's what the Mefarshim was saying.
Come back when?
That he had come back after the get was effective.
So he was...
Yeah. Gemara in Sanhedrin, there's also Gemara in Shabbos. Yeah.
So if the get was effective, why did David tell him to go back to her?
Right. Okay. Every question we're going to answer, we're going to come up with more questions.
Yes.
Let's read on first and try and absorb a little bit more about this curious story.
Is there any meaning of being more of Maria being part of Malthus, and that's why he was sent to the front?
Yeah, I'll come to that. So he asked Uriah to be sent to him, and he says to Uriah, go home and wash your feet, etc. Now we're on to Pasuk Tes. Vayishkav Uriah. Now Uriah declined the instruction, which was very naughty because he defied the king. Vayishkav Uriah Pesach Beis HaMelech. So Uriah simply lay down at the entrance to the king's house, Eskol Avdei Adonov, along with all his servants. V'leirado Beiso. He didn't go home. For some reason, he didn't want to see Bathsheba. And they told David, saying, "Lo yirad Uriah beiso." Uriah did not go down to his house. So David called Uriah. Says, "What's going on? Hallo miderech atzobo. Are you not coming from a journey? Because when you come back from a journey, the natural place to go to is your wife or your ex-wife. Why didn't you go home?" Vayom Uriah David. So Uriah says, "Oron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda yoshvim basukos." The Ark and Israel and Judah are staying in little huts. My Lord Yoav, the servants of the Lord, they're all camping out, they're all living it rough. And I should take it easy and go to my house to eat and drink v'lishkavim ishti, and to lie with my wife. By your life and the life of your soul, I would never do such a thing. Which is a bit chutzpahdik and arrogant. Even if Uriah might have had good reasons and David's reasons might have been rather evil, but Uriah was being rather arrogant towards the king, and to be married by Malchus is chayav misa, is punishable by death. Well, we'll carry on. Vayomer David al Uriah. So David said to Uriah, shev bozeh gam hayom v'cho, ashalech echo. Okay, stay here today and tomorrow I'll send you off. And he stayed in Jerusalem that day and the next, did his shopping, a bit of sightseeing. David called him Vayochal the Fonov Vayesht Vayashakrehu. David summoned him, ate and drank, and made him drunk. He went out in the evening to lie down in his place amongst the Lord's servants. Well, Vayso lo Yorod, but he still would not go home. David was very hopeful that he would go home. It was in the morning. David wrote a letter to Yoav and sent it by Uriah's hand. Strange to make him a messenger for this purpose. And he wrote in the note saying, place Uriah directly in front of the fierce fighting. Then withdraw from behind him so that he should be struck and he should die. And when Yoav was besieging the city, and he put Uriah in a place where he knew that the powerful and Sheikhail Shom, where the powerful warriors were, And the men of the city came out, and they fought against Yoav. And there were people from the servants of David who died. And Uriah the Chitti died as well. So that is part of our story. We won't have to do all the other psukim in this perek to try and understand what's going on, but a messenger came at Posek Kafbeis and told David everything that Yoav had sent him. Then if we skip a few pesukim, we'll go to Posek Kaf Vov. Batishma Eshes Uriah. And Uriah's wife, again, Eshes Uriah, the wife of Uriah, heard, Kimes Uriah Isha, that her husband, Uriah, had died, Batispon Albala, and she mourned for him. Ayavo Avel, when the mourning period had passed, Vayishlach David, David sent for her, Vayas for El Beso, he brought her into his house, Vatilo Lesha, she became his wife, Vatelet Lo Bain, and she bore him a son. Vayera Hadova Ashos of David Bainei Hashem. What David had done was evil in the eyes of Hashem. I've got a lot of problems with that posuk, Vayera David Ashos of David Bainei Hashem. Because if you look in the Gemara in Shabbos, at the end of the fifth perek, it says, anybody who thinks that David sinned, Eino Elotai, don't think that David HaMelech sinned. If you think that David HaMelech was sinned, that's a mistake. What he did was, it was kosher. Hard to believe after we've read a perek like this. But despite all the comments about the wife of Uriah, her husband Uriah, the Mepharshim say she had received a get. Okay. But even if she was a divorced woman, even if Uriah was not going to come back to her, is this the way a Yiddish boy behaves, to spy out a woman who's bathing on a balcony on a nearby property and say, okay, I'll have her? I'm not suggesting one has to go through the shadchan every time, but this isn't the way, I mean, not just a Yiddish boy, but the king of Israel, the way he behaves. And then not only that, if he took her in such an improper way, there is added to that the way that he has manipulated the death of Uriah. Okay, you could say Uriah was Chayav Misa, he was married by Malchus, he disobeyed the king, and therefore he got what he deserved. Okay, then why didn't he get put in front of a Sanhedrin for a court case? If the man is Chayav Misa, then put him in front of the court and try him for improper conduct in the way he behaves towards the king. Except the king can take out his sword. Okay, so that's our justification. So he sends out Uriah to the front line, but his motive of sending out Uriah to the front line wasn't simply because this was an arrogant guy who was being chutzpahdik to the king. He wanted him out of the way.
So also Uriah Chitti was killed. So what about the other innocents who were caught up in this scheme?
Well, okay, we would assume they might have died in any case, because
to leave them. So
if I'm not
getting
through
the word, but the rest of them...
No, it just adds to the insinuation that something went wrong. That it wasn't taught by Nehemiah.
In the Gemara in the Sanhedrin, it also says that God was going to put his broken sin into it. Because it says that if you have a child, you have to see the child. That's what happened. That's what was going on. The
Gemara
says... Yeah. I can't help connecting Vayera Adova Ashavot Adovit Bede Hashem in the Pesuk on Shoftim in Tomar Asidi Alay Melech. The whole concept of having a king, Kechol Agoyim.
Yeah. But David HaMelech, we got so many comments about him which are so praiseworthy, about what a wonderful person he is. And not just what happened with David and Goliath, with the but the tzidkus of David had never been questioned, and he was regarded as so refined. But then we got other questions. You see, David HaMelech, then he marries Bathsheba, and there is a chazal which says that she was really destined for him, and it was Hashem's plan that he should marry Bathsheba. Okay, Now this child who was born, well, this child who was born died as a, after a week, I think it was, it's in the Pasuk, but then afterwards Shlomo HaMelech was born. And Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. So we've got out of this union of David and Bathsheba coming the person who was not only a king of Israel, Shlomo HaMelech, but was zocher to build the very first Beis HaMikdash. Now this is the schar which David HaMelech gets for his inactions or actions.
Mashiach
ben David. Mashiach is coming from him.
The question I asked before about Manzelos, how do you get around it?
Well, if the get is effective, then there's no problem. Because if there is a relationship with a woman whom he has not married, that child is not a mamzer if she's not married to anyone else, if it's not one of what's called the arroyos. That is to say that a mamzer is born from a forbidden marriage for which there is a kores, like a brother marrying a sister where there's incest, or someone marrying a married woman, then the child is a mamzer.
But if somebody
has sexual relations with a woman, he's not married to her, but there's no impediment about marrying her, that child is not a mamzer and can marry anyone in Klal Yisrael. Similarly, if a kohen marries a divorced woman, that's not called a nisor kores, it's a nisor love, which is not as severe. If a kohen marries a divorced woman, that child is a cholol, but is still free to marry other Yisraelim. It's just got a din of Yisrael. Well, the Mefarshim are saying that, Chazal are saying that her divorce was effective. Despite the lashon in the pasuk, it says in the pasuk his wife a number of times.
You said by the time of conceiving, yeah? So according to the pasuk, it's a mamzer, yeah?
Well, the way the pasuk writes that she is the wife of Uriah, or Uriah is her husband, seems to imply that the get was not effective. But we have the benefit of Chazal who say to us it was. So We must assume that she was anticipating his return and she was ready to be remarried. She was still good. Yes, because there would be other reasons why a woman might want to get out of her tumma, handling certain things for the Beis HaMikdash.
In all war, there's always a problem. If the husband is overseas, so a married woman may say she doesn't need to go to him. He was a husband for years. But the king said, there's always the possibility that he might. So Rabboni were in this quandary how to advise ladies. And they said, well, if there's a possibility that he may come home, it would be essential that he...
Well, yeah, there is another dimension to it, and that is if a woman is in her nidda state, then she can't do certain things like sewing curtains for the temple. She has to be pure in that sense of the word. So there may be other reasons why the woman was going to mikveh, not necessarily to have relations with her husband.
Actually, just a technical point of information. The studies of the First World War determined that when soldiers came home on leave, especially in Germany, and they were only home for a day or two, really, and the wife subsequently became pregnant, that they could determine when ovulation occurred. It was one of the bits of medical information there. They could count how long it would take till the child was born, and with large numbers of such cases, that's the point of interest.
Yeah, well, one just has to calculate the gematria of Heroyon, which is 271, and count 271 days, and you'll find it's usually more accurate a calculation than the way the secular doctors make it.
No, that was actually accurate.
Was David HaMelech the only one who could see her from his view? She was bathing on her own property. But if he could see her doing that, others would have been able to see her known.
It's possible, we're not told.
What kind of mentality is that also?
Yeah, why was she bathing in an area... I must assume that she was...
The word that was in my research, the word that was in actual fact, she was bathing in some type of...
tablets on it, and she wasn't actually visible. She was actually under some sort of
she might have thought that nobody could see her. We don't know.
He came to being in the last full moment, and his whole life was dominated by that. That was why.
Yeah, well, we'll come back to that. Sorry, Howard.
What did you say?
Did he not have the Mashiach was going to come back slightly longer?
No, that's happening.
Yeah, he was. Yes, right. The Gemara says this. He was just a bit early in his calculation, but he had a Yavua that this was the wife for him from whom Shlomo HaMelech would come. Yes, but the way he set about it was not exactly the right way. And we're all in agreement on this. And the problem that I have is this Gemara in Shabbos, which says, anyone who thinks that David did nothing wrong, Eino Ela Toa. Whereas it says in the Pasuk itself, Vayera Adov Asher Osa David Bein Hashem. And what David had done was deemed evil in the eyes of Hashem. How do we reconcile the Chazal, which says in the Gemara, that if you think that David sins, yeah, you're mistaken. You could force an argument to say, well, he didn't technically do a sin, because she wasn't any more married, and in any case, Uriah was Chayav Misa. So he didn't technically sin, but for someone of his stature, it was still evil in the eyes of Hashem. But he didn't actually hate. He didn't actually do the sin itself. And that's what Chazal means. Okay. Then Nosan, a little while later, Nosan is a Novi, comes to him in Perek Yud Beis, and gives David a bit of telling off. There are other things which it talks about. We won't have time to go into them. But if we look at Pasuk Tes, Nosan says to him, Madua Bozisa Estava Hashem Lasos Hora. Yeah, so there's a Greek sieve there. But Einai Es Uriah Achiti. Why have you scorned the word of Hashem, doing that which is evil in my eyes? You have struck Uriah the Chittite Kiso Bachereb with a sword, Ves Ishto and his wife, Lokachto Lachol Isho, you have taken for yourself as a wife, Veoso Harakta Bachereb and Ammon, while seeing you have killed by the sword of the children of Ammon. Is that the way to behave? Yatalososu Chereb mi Beis Chad Olom. And now the sword will not cease from your house forever because of this. Akev, because Kivisoni Vatikach Es Eishes Uriah Chiti Deus Lachol Isho. Because you scorn me, have taken the wife of Uriah the Chittite to be a wife to you. And so, Karma Hashem, Hashem says, Hinni make him olecho romi beisecho, I'll raise evil against you for your own household, v'lo kachti es noshecho leinecho, I shall take your wives away in front of your eyes, v'lo sati lereecho, and give them to your fellow man, v'shochavim noshecho leine Hashem ashazos, and that those men, they will lie with them in the sight of this son. Ki ato asiso basose, you have acted in secrecy. I will do this in the presence of all Israel and before the sun. And then Vayomer David al Nosan, Chotosi l'Hashem. Many years later, only after he's told, I believe it was a year later actually, only then he comes and does teshuva. Vayomer Nosan al David gam Hashem evi Chotos chalo somos. Hashem also has, okay, he's commuted your sin, you will not die. But Efes, kin eitz niatztois ove Hashem. You thoroughly blaspheme the enemies of Hashem Badavo Azeh, Gam Habein Hayilod Bechot Mos Yomos. The son that has been born to you will surely die. And then Hashem struck that child, Uriah's wife, and became gravely ill. That's Pasuk 15. David Davan to Hashem, fasted and so on. He wouldn't eat, but it's possibly as ches. Vayibay mashvi, vayomas hayelet, child died. Vayiru avdei, they were afraid to tell him. Vayiru avdei dovid lagid lo ki mei sayelet, ki omru hinei vio sayelet, chai ti barna rei lov lo shemat kalein, but he knew. Vayich namai lov mei sayelet v'osa rov. But vayar dovid, he saw, ki avodov mislach hashim, that they were quiet, they were whispering amongst each other. And Vayomer David ki meis hayoled, he understood that the child had died, and he asked Vayomer David hamesi hayoled Vayomer meis. And so in the next pasuk kaf, he got up and he changed his clothes and he bowed to Hashem, and that then talks about his experience. No, please come in. We've got another chair. One here. David comforted his wife Bathsheba. And that's how Shlomo Melech was then born. Hashem Ahevo, Hashem loved him. Vayishlach biyad Nosam Novi, Vakshma Yedidyo, Babu Hashem. Except words through Nosam Novi, and called him Yedidyo because of Hashem. So that, in a nutshell, is the story of David which we were telling today. In my desperation of trying to understand how this Gemara can say that David did not sin, what he did was bad, the clue, I think, to that is given in the pasuk we read about what David was doing to the reputation of himself as a king. So we read earlier that there was a kind of blasphemy going on. When Nosson tells off David in Pasuk 13, Yud Gimel, and 14, Vayomer Nosson al David, Gam Hashem evech atoscha lo somos. Hashem has commuted your sin. So he's definitely done a sin. So how does that tie up with the Gemara? And then in Yud David, Efes ki niyetz niyatz this ovei Hashem, you have thoroughly blasphemed the enemies of Hashem in this matter. I found an Alshich, and I found it just last night, and the Alshich says on this perek, he says, what was David really being punished for? He wasn't really being punished for taking another man's wife, who was technically divorced. He wasn't being punished for killing Uriah, because this man was Chayav Misa. He was being punished for causing a Chilul Hashem. That was David's sin, says the Alshich HaKadosh.
Which is the worst sin of all.
Which is the worst sin of all.
In which way did he do this?
What example is set to the whole of the people of Israel and to the other peoples of the world when the king of Israel goes and fancies this woman who's technically belonging to another man, takes her for himself, and the way he sets about it, and the way he manipulates the death of somebody by saying, send him out on the front line. Is this a behavior which is becoming of a king of Israel?
But you said the report and said he didn't do anything wrong.
Why does the pasuk here in our own Shmuel Beis say Vayera Adova Beinei Hashem, and what he did was bad in the eyes of Hashem, and he says Chotosi Hashem in pasuk Yud Gimel.
The verse also emphasizes that he did it in further things, so Basate. I think that also goes by saying the fact that he did all these things, but not in the open.
Yeah, he did it secretly. He was manipulative. Well, because everybody then knows, they see that Bathsheba is in the palace and that he's married her, and when he marries her, he's not going to make a small reception. He'll get Reich the caterers on the job. I mean, people will see the way he's behaved. You think word doesn't get around in the army that Uriah was put on the front line in order that he should be killed, and then they say, oh, now we can put two and two together.
I think the point is the reason he did it secretly and furtively was he knew it was wrong. I think that's the point that's being made here, that if all right, she was technically maybe not married, and also he was fired from his town and all that, but if that had all been true, then why didn't he do it out in the open? I think it's saying he did it secretly because he knew this was all not right.
Yes. There's no difference between killer attempt privacy publicly and killer attempt sneer, more privacy. So it started off privacy, but it ended up people
would know.
Yeah,
that's correct.
That's very bad.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm supposed to be that humility. Kotosi Hashem implies
chilul. Yeah. That maybe there was no problem of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro here. Maybe we exonerate him for the way he related to others, the way he related to Uriah and to Bathsheba and so on. but in his personal, private relationship with Hashem, there was something wrong in his wavelength. The way he was setting about it, and a person of his stature, this is not what we expect of David HaMelech. Chatzosil Hashem. Thank you.
Wasn't he asking Hashem to be tested?
Pardon?
Didn't he ask Hashem to be tested? Love him,
Melech. Okay.
Hashem sent this to test.
Okay, but he... Okay, so he failed his test then. He has sinned.
And then you can say that one of the offspring made to Beit HaMikdash,
yes,
is a big kapara, so maybe...
Well, let's reconcile now the fact that David HaMelech, who we sing, the kids sing David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayom, who else do we sing this about? That we give him such importance, and that he is the father of Shlomo HaMelech, who built the first base of Mikdash, and he is the ancestor of the Melech HaMashiach, the Mashiach ben David, we give him such prominence, despite the actions which he's engaged in. How do we reconcile that?
You said in your previous lecture, okay, you said in your previous lecture this morning about the consequences of later on, good and bad. So you could say, well, there was this bad, but look at the good that came out of it.
Yeah, okay, what is the good that came out of it? Let's look at Tehillim. Have we got a Tehillim in front of us?
Can I just intersperse? If you look at them to their study,
yes,
it says that Potosi Hashem, what is a Potosi? He says, on the killing of Uriah, that was the severe crime. What he did with Bathsheba, Hashem Yirachem, God will have mercy on him.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the killing of Uriah.
Yeah, okay, but there are the Mefarshim which talk about his sin as being in the plural, and there are the Mefarshim which say the taking of Bathsheba and the killing of Uriah as two separate sins. And our summer forashim we write it that way. But if he is exonerated for those sins, we've still got the Chilul Hashem to worry about.
That's now, the Chilul Hashem, the killing of Uriah. That is the Chilul Hashem. That's the point you're making.
Yeah.
He said the killing of Uriah is the main part in the way he sinned against God.
Yeah. Right. Now, the Gemara in Shabbos talks of, in Daf Lamed, talks about when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdosh. So before we come to this Tehillim, and this is brought down by Rav Dessler in the Michtav Meliyahu, when Shlomo HaMelech was building the Beis HaMikdosh, he wanted to bring the Aron into the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Aron which contained the Luchos. But the gate into the Kodesh HaKodashim was stuck, couldn't get it in. So Shlomo HaMelech sang 24 songs of praise to Hashem in order that these gates should open to bring in the Aron, and nothing happened. No response. So he said, no reply. And he says, Hashem Elokim, Al Toshay Panei Mishichecho, Zichu Lechastei David Avdecho, remember David your servant. Suddenly the gates opened. After all this supplication, he mentions David, the gates open. And that time the enemies of David were just reduced back to the walls of a pan. And then all the Jews knew that David HaMelech had been forgiven. What about before David HaMelech's death? David HaMelech asked for forgiveness, but it wasn't really coming. Only afterwards, after David HaMelech's death, did it be shown that he had been forgiven for his sins. Let's now turn to Tehillim Nun Aleph. So you need your Tehillim volume. The Midrash Shochet Tov says, in Perek Dalad, Sif Dalad, anyone who wishes to do teshuvah should scrutinize the deeds of David HaMelech. When you see how low he had stooped in his standard, but he did such a magnificent teshuvah, that elevated him enormously. And we know from the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah, that Yom Kippur is mechaper for sins, unless it's Beinod and Lachavera, you have to ask somebody else for forgiveness, but there is one sin which Yom Kippur cannot be mechaper for, and that is Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem is such a great aveira, we cannot believe how bad it is. The only thing which can be mechaper, which can atone for Chilul Hashem, is Misa, death. But David HaMelech, before his death, listen to his words in Tehillim Nun Aleph. L'amnatzeach mizmor David. B'voyel of Nosan HaNovi, when Nosan HaNovi came to him, to David, Kashebo Basheva, after David had come to Basheva, Choneini Elohim kechastecho, show me favor according to your kindness, Kerov rachamecho, according to your vast compassion, Mechepa Sho'oi, erase my transgressions. Harbe kabseini me'avoni, abundantly please cleanse me from my sins, mechatosi ta'areini, from my iniquity please purify me. Ki peshaya ani edo, I recognize my transgressions. Vechatosi negdi somin, and my sin is with me always. I carry this around with me on my shoulders for all my time. What I have done in evil, I bear on my shoulders. Lecholavad chochotosi, against you alone I sinned. Okay. So I didn't do anything in an Aveira with an Eshishish. Okay, I didn't really kill Uriel HaChiti. I had excuses for that. But l'chol rabah b'chochotosi, to you alone, as you say, Mr. Ordman, what does it mean, chotosi l'Hashem? It was purely and simply him in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. L'chol rabah b'chochotosi, to you alone our sins, bara be'einecho osisi, and even in your eyes I did. And in the right, when you judge, that is the state of affairs. And it carries on. It's the most beautiful piece of poetry. But this this perek, there is a minhag, some have, to recite this Tehillim Nun Aleph on Shabbos Shira, when we read, sorry, Parshas Porah, when we read the Parsha of the Porah Adumo, in order to remind that Kehillah, that they have to purify themselves in anticipation of Pesach, when they bring the Korban Pesach. So before, when we got Shabbos Parah, we bring the Parah Adumah to purify ourselves. And part of that purification is not only the Parah Adumah, but it's also to be Maharet B'Teshuvah, to think Teshuvah, and to do Teshuvah, Aziv Asachei, to leave the sin one has been doing. What better lesson then is there when we're now in the month of Elul, and we're talking about Teshuvah? I'm talking now to myself, not to you. I'm not a preacher. No fire and brimstone today. But when we're reflecting upon ourselves and our past and our present, and we're thinking of the future, and we enter Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaDin, and we're davening not just for ourselves, but for all of Klal Yisrael, Teshuvah is something magnificent. Because if we are sincere in it, the slate is wiped clean. You know, if somebody in English law has done a crime, he could be arrested for it 10 years later and be tried for it and be put to prison for it. What a chesed we have from our Kadosh Baruch Hu, that when we do a sincere teshuvah, he said, okay, I'll imagine as though it's never happened. And if the teshuvah is me'avo, it's different when it's teshuvah me'yiro. Teshuvah me'yiro, the zedonos are made like shagogos. What you've done intentionally is as if it was unintentional. But if the teshuvah is done with devotion and love, with avas Hashem, Chazal tell us that those sins that we've done are transformed, not as averus, but they are then become mitzvahs. It's as if you've done mitzvahs. So great is teshuvah. What better deal can one have with the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And it's written in the Halacha, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah, that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we still dress in our finest clothes, and Yom Kippur, we still dress in our finest clothes, and we say good Yom Tov. Surely we're worried. Surely we should be petrified because of what Hashem might do to us. But because Hashem in his chesed guarantees us this wonderful ticket to a future life of cleanliness, if we've done teshuva properly, we can already enter the Yom Tov of the Aseres Yimei Teshuva with some degree of confidence, and we still dress in our best clothes, and we still enjoy our meals on Rosh Hashanah, and we can still say good Yom Tov with that hope that Hashem will forgive us if we are sincere in our teshuva. And what better lesson is there from David HaMelech, who did what would perhaps be portrayed in the media as something not exactly becoming of a Jewish king? If he could get teshuvah and be forgiven for his sins, so much so that the gates of the Kodesh Kodoshim would only open, not from all the shiros and shpachas of Shlomo HaMelech, but mentioning David Avdecha. The Chisei David Avdecha Mehera Nasocha Tochin should be rebuilt speedily in our days. Sivat Sima Tova.